especially since our theme this year is renewing our lives and our minds in Christ. And today, we're going to talk about how to renew your mind. Now, I have to say this, that if you never get anything else out of any other sermon I preach, my prayer is that you'll get this one. This is the one that I feel has changed my own life. And I'm praying that it'll continue to change my life as we talk about this whole idea of renewing one's mind. In fact, it's the very reason why I chose Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2, was to cover this aspect of renewing our minds. If you will, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is the section of Scripture that we've been in for the last 3 weeks. We'll be in it one more week as we do our series on our theme. But Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is just a great, great section of Scripture, and I think just a great, great vision for each of us spiritually. Verse 1 begins this way. I'll be reading from the NASB. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice to God, acceptable, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me repeat that. And do not be transformed to this world or conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We know about the spiritual metamorphosis. That's the transformation that takes place. Image of Christ is being transformed in us. Our new nature is becoming the dominant factor in our Christian life. It happens through the renewal of the mind. Well, what now? How can we renew our minds? Well, let me start with this. When we talk about renewing our minds, it would have to do with what we're thinking on. And one of the first things that has to come to our mind is we've got to be thinking on the Word of God. Now, you can read very, very good men, believers, who have written many good things. We think of the Calvins, we think of the Luthers, Augustines, we think of all of those. Very, very good, that can help us in our thinking through the Scriptures. But it is the Scriptures that we have to think on. John MacArthur writes this: the outward transformation is effected by an inner change in the mind. And the Spirit's means of transforming our minds is the Word. You know, it's so sad in this day and age to see the Word of God take less and less of a preeminent place in the worship service. And here's why this is so difficult. The Holy Spirit, as it says in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it also says it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. It says that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Scriptures, that He moved the writers of the New Testament to pen God's words. Now, if the Holy Spirit did that, what do you think He wants to use in the church in order to edify people? Some other book? No. God's truth, which is contained in the Word of God. That's what He wants to use. He wants to use His instrument. It's the one that Hebrews says it's living and active. And what's happened in our day and age is you say, but I don't understand. I look at some of these big churches where the Word of God is watered down and there's excitement. There's living. There's action. But is it spiritual? And is it biblical? I don't know. But if we understood the Scriptures, we'd know. And by the way, on this topic, this pulpit is for believers. Now, if someone comes in this church and they're an unbeliever, I want to share the gospel and I want them to know Christ. But Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that this pulpit is for one purpose, and that is to equip you with the knowledge of the Word of God, to edify you, to transform you, so that you go out and do ministry. We've turned it around. We've made it now that church is going to be tailored to the unbeliever. We'll bring them in by playing his music. We'll bring them in by dumbing down the word. We'll bring them in. Well, it's not meant for that. The church is meant for the edification of believers. And if an unbeliever comes in, great. But I'm not going to water anything down. And you know what? It's been my understanding that you preach the word. And when you preach the word strongly and in depth, that's when the fear of God falls upon the unbeliever. Not because he can just sway with the whole rest of the congregation. So the Word of God has to be the instrument not only for the church, but for the individual believer, for renewing his mind. Another quote, God's own Word is the instrument His own Holy Spirit uses to renew our minds, which in turn He uses to transform our living. Don't take my word for it. Let's go to the Scriptures. What do the Scriptures say? The Scriptures attest to this, to the continuous inner activity of meditating on the Word of God. That is what the believer is to do. You know, it's kind of interesting, you go through the Scriptures and you take a look at some of the things that it tells you to do continuously. Scriptures tell us to pray without ceasing, so we're supposed to do that continuously. Scriptures tell us to give thanks always and in all things, so we're supposed to give thanks continuously. But the other thing that we're supposed to do continuously, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, is to meditate day and night on the Word of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. What a wonderful psalm. Here it is. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. How blessed is the man who, 1, does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, 2, stand in the path of sinners, or 3, sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, why doesn't he do those things? Verse 2. Because his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Word of God. And in His law, He meditates day and night. That's the renewing of the mind. What happens when you renew your mind? A spiritual transformation takes place. And here He alludes to it. Verse 3, He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, not out in the desert and dying, but where there's refreshment, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. If you want to be watered, if you want to be revived, if you want to be refreshed, if you want to have fruit in your life at the appropriate times when you need that fruit, here's how. By the meditating in God's Word day and night. Now, what does the word meditate mean? Well, meditate, I'm not thinking of the contemporary word for meditation where they would say the key is to empty your mind. Lord knows we have enough empty-minded people walking around. That's not what it means. Rather, when meditation is used in the Bible, it doesn't mean emptying your mind. It means filling your mind. Filling your mind with what? With the Word of God. That's what meditation means. It's kind of interesting as we think of the Hebrew word. I enjoy talking about this Hebrew word. It's the Hebrew word haggah. What does meditation, haggah, mean? It means to moan. It means to growl. It means to utter, speak, or muse. Well, now how do you get meditate out of that? Well, it's the idea of speaking to oneself, muttering to oneself. Now, we've all seen those people who talk to themselves and mutter to themselves. You can put it on record. It's okay for you to mutter to yourself if you're muttering the Scriptures and talking to yourself about the Scriptures. It's all right to talk to yourself there. That other kind of talking to yourself, I don't know. I don't know. I do it, I'm sure. And I even answer myself. But the idea is this. It's thinking, or Or why does it say that it's the word to moan or growl? Well, how about when you're thinking and you sit down and you go, that's meditation. The Hebrew language is very picturesque. Meditation is, And so God wants you to go, all day long on His Word. Now, we understand that we can't always do that. We've got to concentrate. But the first time you get a free moment, it ought to be leading back to the Word of God. Or something comes up in your life. Is this right or is this wrong? What does the Word of God say? Should I be doing this? What does the Word of God say? Oh, you're tempted in an area. What do you do when you're tempted? You ought to be going, what does the Word of God say? And we see this over and over. So the believer, when he meditates, he's contemplating. He's thinking with his mind. He's thinking with his mind and he's thinking to himself. And it says that he does this continually. And by the way, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when he gives the command to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it's in the present tense. You must keep on and keep on and keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Scripture attests to the renewing of our minds. There's a lot of scriptures to look up and not enough time. So I'm going to just quickly go through some of them. The believer, according to the scriptures, is to store up the scriptures in order to gain victory over sin. How about this? How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Verse 11. Your word have I treasured and hid in my heart. Why? So that I might not sin against you. It gives us victory over sin. What about Jesus? What did he do when he was tempted? And he was tempted to turn the stones into bread because he was hungry. This is what he said. And he gave for us not only the right words to temptation, but the right example. The tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it is written. He handled temptation with the written word. And I'm sure he didn't have a scroll with him, which means he had to have it memorized. And by the way, there are some 54 quotations in the Gospels that Jesus quoted Scripture. 54 I counted. Where he was either talking about a prophecy or in the midst of temptation, he quoted a Scripture. Did Jesus memorize and meditate on Scripture? Oh, you bet he did. And this is what he said. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is renewing your mind. We could also say this, that the believer is to treasure the Scriptures as a source of God's wisdom. I think we've read this before, but how about this? Psalm 119, verses 98, you don't have to turn there. Actually, I need to go back to verse 97. David writes, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation. All the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. And I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. If you want to see a major theme in the Bible, it's the connection of the Word of God with the believer. So when we say that the theme of this church is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, where it says, preach the Word, that's what it's about. Because that's what the Scriptures teach. Preaching the living Word through the written Word. Well, there are all sorts of other benefits and scriptures we could turn to talk about the benefits of memorizing and meditating. But I want to take you to a very practical aspect here. If you want to turn an audience off, just say the word memorize. And even my own spirit goes, oh. And aren't we always forgetting? There in Casper. There I was in Casper, not using my keys, but my stepfather's keys. He wanted me to drive, give him a break. Somewhere along the line, I lost not his keys, but my keys to my house and everything else here. I don't know where I put it. So, we retrace all of our steps throughout the week. Even the hotel, I tell them that I am sure it was in one of those rooms, only to find it had fallen down or I had placed it in the back of the car where the wheel well was. Anyway, you talk about a memory. And that's not the first time that I've lost keys in this short time that I've been here in Wyoming. What is this idea about memorization? Well, let me say this. In order to meditate, you've got to memorize it. Either that or you've got to be carrying your Bible around with you. And you know what? That's okay too. I'll accept that. But if you're at work and there's a temptation that comes where you're at work and you don't have time to go into the Scriptures and do Bible study, it's got to be there. The sword of the Spirit is what it's called in Ephesians. You've got to be able to know it. That's what Jesus did. He quoted those Scriptures. Now, we say we can't memorize. I'm going to beg to differ. One, I'm going to beg to differ because we memorize lots of stuff. Maybe it's not Scriptures we memorize, but we memorize lots of stuff. We memorize sports statistics. We memorize stock market prices. We memorize different types of cross-stitching. We certainly memorize different recipes. And you know, we memorize phone numbers. We memorize TV listings and schedules. Oh, gotta get home. It's coming on a certain time. I know the time, I know the channel. But I can't memorize. We memorize nursery rhymes. And by the way, that is one of the reasons why we want children to memorize, because their minds are not cluttered with all the stuff that us adults are cluttered with. And so when they memorize it, they remember it for life. That's when you want the Scriptures in their minds and their hearts. But as adults, it can happen as well. We remember short and pithy sayings. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. We remember the prices in grocery stores. When I worked at Woodward's IGA years ago, we had something we called lost leaders. Now, a lost leader was something that we purposely took a loss on because we wanted to be cheaper than anyone else in town on certain items. Those certain items would be milk, sugar, a few other things. Things that the housewife, she's not going to remember every price in the store, but she's going to remember your price on milk, sugar. So when she comes into our store, we want her to see that we have low prices. And so we make sure we're lower than everyone else, or at least no higher than anyone else in town, because of the memory. Well, I will also have to say this. That when we think about the mind and we think about memory, it is like a muscle. And I've seen this in my own life, that the more you exercise it, the better you get. I remember being challenged some time ago, many, many years ago. Can't even remember how long. I remember being challenged to begin to memorize. And the first thing that I wanted to memorize was Psalm 1. And there was only 6 verses in Psalm 1. And I am telling you, it took me all week long to memorize those 6 verses. I mean, it became a monumental task. But the more that I began to memorize, I began to memorize it a little easier, a little more. So there is something to getting the muscle in your mind ready. Because you can't meditate on what you can't remember. Because you can't remember it. Let me give you a couple practical steps. Not in memorizing, but in renewing your mind. Because we're not just talking just about memorizing. Here's how you renew your mind and transform your life. You choose an area that you're struggling with in your life right now, spiritually. Maybe a sin. Maybe something you don't understand. Maybe a difficulty, a trial, a temptation. You pick an area that's right now where the rubber's hitting the road. That'll give you some incentive. Then you go and you find a section or sections of scriptures that deal with that. In fact, I've sent along a little list that you could take home, put in your Bible, put on your refrigerator, that talks about different areas of the Christian life, relationships, victory over sin. And I even have a list of lists there. I like that list of lists. There are a number of lists in the Bible of areas. But if you still can't find it, you come to me and you ask me. And there will be nothing more that will bring joy to my heart to say, I know a scripture that you can memorize and meditate on that will help you. That's what I'm all about. And then when you find that scripture, you've got to commit it to memory. Try it. Use the 3x5 cards. Use the writing down method. Use the rote memory. Use the Jewish memory of rocking back and forth, which is one of the reasons why they do it. They get their body involved with it. Say it, Allah. Do whatever you need to do that works for you to memorize it. And then you begin to meditate on it. And as you begin to meditate on it, you will begin, I believe, to understand that scripture better than you ever did before, just by a cursory reading. And you begin to see principles in those scriptures that apply to your life and apply to the lives of others, and you begin to put those into practice. That is how your life is transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to close with looking at one scripture. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, which are my life verses, and here's the reason why. Years ago, living in Gillette, Wyoming, I did not always walk with the Lord. In fact, there was a time when I was backslidden. There was a time when I was so backslidden that I didn't want to go to church. Certainly didn't want to read my Bible. Certainly didn't want to pray. I couldn't. It meant nothing to me. And it bothered me. Here I am, a Christian. I'm miserable. Because I don't have a desire for anything spiritual. And I prayed, Lord, if this is the way it's going to be for the rest of my life, I'm going to be just a miserable Christian. You might as well take me home right now. Because I don't want to be here. And as I continued to work through this dilemma, the one thing that came to my mind was, what about memorizing? Just give that a try. And I thought, well, okay. And I thought, I'll go to the book of Proverbs because it's not too spiritual in the book of Proverbs. And it's all practical things, fixing your cars and things like that. So I'll go to the book of Proverbs. And by the time I got to chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, God had my attention because God had my mind. And this is what it said, and it made such a revolutionary change in my life. These are my life verses. This is what I want to be about. This is what I want my preaching to be about. This is what I want your life to be about. And here it is. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, yes, memorize them, hide them. When you have something treasured, you put it in lock and key and safekeeping. How do you put God's word safekeeping in your mind? By memorizing it so that you'll not forget it when you need it. And then, not just memorizing it, but then he says this, verse 2. If you make your ear attentive to wisdom, if you incline your heart to understanding. So, as I'm memorizing, as I'm meditating, I'm looking for principles in Scripture that I can apply to my life. Or I can apply to others who are struggling and are asking me for help. So, you're finding the principles, and then it says you incline your heart. It means you put them into practice. Wisdom, I believe, here in this reference, is the principles of Scripture. Understanding is seeing how they apply to my particular life. And then verse 3, he says, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you pray for wisdom. And then verse 4, if you seek it as silver, search for it as for hidden treasures. If I told you that my wife lost her extremely expensive diamond ring that I gave to her out there in the snow somewhere, and that whoever finds it will receive $1,000. Maybe not right after the service, but at some point you're going to be out there kicking the snow looking for it. God says that His Word doesn't even compare to riches. The value in the Word of God. Search for those hidden treasures. And notice all of these begins with an if. If you do those things, then. It's a condition. If this, then that. Verse 5 says this. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord. Well, what's that? Book of Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You will begin to understand wisdom. God's wisdom. Not mine. God's thoughts. Not yours. And discover the knowledge of God. Verse 6 tells us why. For here's the reason. The Lord does give wisdom. He wants you to be wise. He wants you to have His thoughts, His wisdom. Where does it come from? From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. And as I began to memorize and meditate on the Word, that desire for spiritual things slowly came back. And it began to escalate and escalate, so much so that I was at one point excited about the things that I had been memorizing and meditating on in the book of Proverbs. Went back to John. I said, John, you know what? I've sinned. I've backslidden all these years. John, can you forgive me? John said, well, did you ask forgiveness from the Lord? I said, yes. He said, did the Lord forgive you? I said, yes. He said, well, then I forgive you. And then I said, John, something wonderful is happening in my life. I want to teach. I want to be able to teach these things. Shortly thereafter, I was given an opportunity to teach here at Grace Bible Church the book of Proverbs. Revolutionary in my life, hopefully helpful in yours. And as I began to do that, I began to see what spiritual gift God had given me, what God wanted me to do with my life spiritually. And the thought hit me, you know, if memorizing and meditating on the Word can do this for someone who's backslidden, imagine what it could do for someone who wants to grow in the Lord. And so the challenge for you this year, 2007, and the rest of your life, is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By renewing your mind, you will, on the Word of God, you will become a living and holy sacrifice, not one that's conformed to this world, one who is being conformed to the image of Christ, living predominantly according to your new nature. I pray that the Lord has spoken to your heart and challenged you with these scriptures. I hope this is where we're going to go from here on in at Grace Bible Church 2007, renewing our lives and minds in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this happens in my life. I pray this happens in the life of all those who have heard your word today. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. I pray, Father, that we've been excited. And Father, there may be that tinge of, oh, I don't want to memorize. But Lord, I pray that we can see beyond that. We can see beyond, wouldn't it be great to be a believer who's on fire for the Lord? Wouldn't it be great to be able to, just like Jesus, when we're tempted, to be able to quote the appropriate scripture to say no to sin, but yes to God? Wouldn't it be great to be conformed and transformed into the image of Christ, which is the very thing that you're doing in our lives, Lord? And Lord, to know that there is some way we can have a part in it by renewing our minds in the scriptures. Lord, if no one ever hears another word I say, I pray that today they will not forget one word of this sermon. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.